He got fooled. He went back the next night, arriving at the same moment Stoat was driving away, the silhouette of a woman visible beside him in the Range Rover. Twilley assumed it was the wife, assumed the two of them were going to a late dinner. But it turned out to be one of the maids riding off with the litter bug. He was giving her a lift home. And so Twilley made a mistake that changed everything. Ever since his previous incursion, the Stoats had been more scrupulous about setting the house alarm. But Twilley decided to hell with it. He'd bust in and grab the dog's pills and run. He'd be in and out and on the road in a minute, flat. The kitchen door was a breeze. A screwdriver did the job, and surprisingly, no alarm sounded. He found the dog's medicines on the counter next to the coffee machine. Two small prescription bottles and a tube of ointment, all antibiotics, which Twilley put in his pocket. The lab's leash hung from a hook near the door, so Twilley grabbed that too. For the daring raid, he awarded himself a cold Sam Adams from the refrigerator. When he turned around, there stood Desiderata Stoat with a chrome-plated .38.
"You're the one who stole our dog," she said. "Where is he?"
"Safe and sound."
"I said where?" She cocked the hammer. "Shoot me and you'll never see McGuinn again."
"Who?"
"That's his new name." Twilley told Mrs. Stoat he hadn't known about the dog's surgery. Not an apology, but an explanation for why he was there. "I came back for his medicine. By the way, what happened to him?"
The litter bug's wife said, "You wouldn't believe it if I told you. Put your hands on top of your head."
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Stoat, but that's not how it goes in real life." Twilley took a minute to polish off the beer.
"You recycle?" he asked. Desi motioned toward a closet. Inside was a plastic crate where Twilley deposited the empty bottle. Then he turned around and calmly snatched the revolver away from the litterbug's wife. He shook out the bullets and put them in the same pocket as the dog's medicine. The gun he placed in a silverware drawer. Mrs. Stoat lowered her chin and muttered something inaudible. She wore no shoes and a long white T-shirt and pearl earrings, and that was about it.
"You're the sicko who left those nasty notes and pulled the eyes out of all the animal heads?"
"Correct." Twilley saw no point in mentioning the attack on her red beamer. Desi said,
"Those were terrible things to do."
"Pretty childish," Twilley conceded.
"What's the matter with you, anyway?"
"Evidently, I'm working through some anger."
"What's your name?" Desi asked.
Twilley laughed and rolled his eyes.
"Okay," she said. "You're kidnapping our dog?"
"Your husband's dog."
"I want to come."
"Of course," Twilley chuckled. She couldn't be serious.
"I need to know what this is all about," she said, "because I don't believe it's money. I believe it's about Palmer."
"Nice meeting you, Mrs. Stoat."
"It's Desi."
She followed Twilley out to the rental car and hopped in. He told her to get out, but she refused, pulling her knees to her chin and wrapping both arms around her legs. "I'll scream bloody murder."
"Worse than bloody murder," she warned.
Twilley sat down heavily behind the wheel. What a twist of rancid luck that Stoat's wife would turn out to be a headcase. She said,
"Here's the situation. Lately, I've been having doubts about everything. I need to get away.
Take a cruise."
"You don't understand. The dog will be fine. You've got my word."
"I'm talking about Palmer," she said.
"Me and Palmer."
Twilley was stumped. He couldn't think of anything else to do but drive.